Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You see the thing about Josh Allen and Kyler Murray?
I just did just during the break. I haven't listened to the audio, but I saw a tweet with Murray talking, I assume, about what the text below it was, which was Josh Allen, a quote from Josh Allen talking about how, I guess they were together at Christian Kirk's wedding.
Yes.
And that Allen said he tried to convince Kyler Murray to start golfing. He's not sure how well he did because it was a late night conversation.
Yeah. It's how'd the kind of thing that could have seemed like small talk, could have been small talk, but yeah. You know, you have something in common, something you know about the other person. You just sort of, you play any golf?
Yeah.
Right? What? Christian Kirk, though. Sal Capaccio on the West Shore Hotline. Sal, do you happen to know any connection, or Bulldog, you're looking at me like you do?
Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville now, and I'm just guessing that's the point of entry in some way, but I don't know why you would go to the dude's wedding, so there's got to be more than that.
I would think more than that.
Horrible guess. Same, sorry. Sal?
Same draft class. That's the best I can do.
Over to Sal.
I wonder the same thing. When I heard Josh say that, I wonder what the connection is specifically to Christian Kirk. And I couldn't follow up because I wasn't there when Josh was talking at that time, but I did hear it, and I wondered the same thing. I don't know what the exact, I don't know why how that is. Maybe tomorrow I can find out.
Murray was Kirk's quarterback in Arizona, at least. So
that makes sense.
Murray being there would make, right, maybe that sort of simple sense, but not sure on Allen. All right. So we have, we're into the nitty-gritty here, Sal. Injury reports and now captains and the whole thing with an eye on Sunday. Let's start with Sean McDermott's decision, I presume, to name, I want to say, only two captains. Sometimes, including the Bills in the past, have named a lot more. We talked about it here earlier. I think it might be sort of a sign of a little bit of a leadership reboot with the Bills, where this so-called leadership council working, underneath the two captains is a way for McDermott to kind of cultivate new leadership on the team. I would not say there's anything bad about that. I never really care how many captains you have or who they are, but it might be another sign. I say another, that the Bills are thinking, sort of in a transition mentality here this year.
Well, I'll tell you from my standpoint, this whole thing, which is, going into today, we in the media knew that the Bills would most likely release their captains today. So some of us in the media room were kind of guessing who they would be. And we went back, and I sit next to Josh Reed in the media room generally, and Josh and I went back through every year that Sean McDermott's been head coach. And they've ranged from 6 to 8 captains every year. They have. Some years 6, some years 7, some years 8. So we wrote down like 8 guys we thought would be the captains this year, kind of playing a little game.
Mm-hmm.
We were both stunned that only 2 people were named captain. And Josh even said, he goes, boy, none of us had that, right? Two guys. And I do think, I think there is something of significance here, which is, to me, this kind of goes back to really the entire offseason, which is kind of Josh Allen being the guy that is looked to be his team now. This is Josh's team now. And for right or for wrong, for how it's going to turn out, not turn out, for all the things that have been written, for all the things that have been said, we've talked about it many times here. There's been people writing things about it. There's been people writing things that people said that isn't quite true about it. But I think ever since, really, you go back to March and April, I'm talking combine, I'm talking owners meetings, I'm talking especially pre-workouts, OTAs. There's been this kind of push to kind of put out there that Josh is a leader of this team. It's going to be, and he's going to have to take a new leadership role, and they're embracing this, and he's a different kind of leader. I think what happened today was, to me, even more of that, which is we're going to have two voices on this team. Now, they're going to have people to lean on, but those are our leaders, and this is not a leadership, you know, committee of captains of eight anymore. This is two guys who are leading this team, and they're going to have people around them to lean on, and especially Josh.
Right. I don't know if you heard us talking about it at the outset of our show today, but that's exactly how I feel. The whole, everything you just said, all encompassing here. And that's not to say, like, to accuse Allen of lacking in some area there, but I do feel like they are trying to, I don't know, would you agree with nudge as a phrasing here? Just sort of like, make him take ownership or like allow him to take ownership.
Yes.
Allow him to take.
That's the word I would use.
But allow him to take ownership.
I agree, Bulldog. That's the word I was going to say. That's the word I would use. I think it's we want Josh Allen to take ownership of being a captain and know that it's his team. He can do this.
You don't have to defer to anybody else.
That's correct. This isn't. And again, that doesn't have to be. This doesn't have to be a negative. You could look at. We can all look at it any way we want. We can all think however we want about that. What kind of leader he is or has been. What's in his DNA. What's not. I think that's the perfect word. To me, it was both Josh and Terrell. Right. Terrell is the middle linebacker for this team. He traditionally your middle linebacker is going to be a captain. But I think today represents this team saying we want our starting franchise quarterback who's been with us for 8 years. Who's one of the elite in the league, and our starting middle linebacker in his third year to take ownership of this team. And they have other people they can rely on, but they're going to take ownership, and this is what we want.
I wonder if Milano were healthy, if that would have been different with Bernard. I would guess no, because Milano has always been talked about as a very low-key guy, like not a voice necessarily. He leads in by his play and his actions, but he's not the guy to like call everybody around. Bernard definitely reads like that.
I think I would guess yes, though. Just want to say.
Yeah?
It would have been Milano, really? But just a guess.
I don't. I don't think Matt Milano's ever been a captain on this team, despite being an all-pro and how well he's played. He's also not the middle linebacker calling the plays.
Right.
He's a guy, when people brought up the fact of him, you know, calling the plays on defense when they had to transition or whatever, I'm like, well, he's not the middle linebacker, and he's just going to play. You know, that's a lot more there. And I think that's all encompassing too, which is, no, I maybe, you never know, but that's not Matt Milano. I think Matt Milano is much more of a different kind of player like that, and we all know he's a great player, but Terrell Bernard is the vocal leader of the defense. He's in the middle of it. That's what the middle linebacker's job is.
You said you can interpret the Allen thing any way you want. And my guess would be they do want him to be in some way different. Mm-hmm. The guys leaving, the caliber of the players and the experience of the players leaving, as you described, can lead you to not do that. You know, maybe it's more just circumstances. But it does, the way you talk about it, Sal, it does sound like there's somewhat of an effort by the Bills to have Allen sort of represent differently, if that's not the wrong way to put it. I guess lead differently could be simpler and maybe more accurate. But that would be my read, actually, that they do want him, whatever it might be. Is it maturity? Is it sort of being more vocal, responsible? I don't know what it might be. I know I said to Bulldog earlier, too, I think that kind of thing can be risky. And I feel like maybe you'd put more stock into these sort of intangibles than I might. We've been over that over the years. What I want from Allen is touchdowns, and I'm getting that. And I wouldn't want to rankle him by trying to change his habits in any way, if that's not also wrong.
I think it's very fair, Mike. It is risky, and there's, you know, a question of it still has to come with a certain demeanor. And what are you asking of him to do that, right? Which is, if you are asking him to be different in some way, what does that mean? Because I don't think Josh is the kind of guy that's just going to start laying into people. Nobody's even saying he has to be like that in any way. But what I think has happened here is Josh has never had to be that guy. And I always say he's never had to be the alpha male leader. Because this team has always had, since he's been here, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and then throughout the years, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, who became a captain in his third year, Mitch Morse, even Tyler Matakevich and Saran Neal, and these guys who have been here, even before him, who've always been the leaders that have been more of that. Josh has always been one of the guys, right? I mean, that's what he is. That's one of the charms of Josh Allen, why his teammates love him. He's a guy. He makes jokes in the locker room. He puts people at ease. People are very comfortable around him. Well, a lot of this leadership has walked out the door. He's a franchise quarterback. He's an MVP candidate. He's making over $40 million a year. And I think with that sometimes comes, whether it's fair or not, a responsibility in a lot of ways to be that kind of leader. Now, look, Josh has been a captain of this team since 2019. Since his second year, he has been a captain. But that's what happens when you're the starting quarterback, basically. So I think it's more of a product of him never really having to do that and having to be that way. But what way is that? That's what I want to find out as the season goes on. There might be times where they hit, I'll use Josh's word today, turbulence. Like he was talking about the game. We're going to hit some turbulence on Sunday and you'll know how you fight through that. There's going to be some times throughout the season where there might be some turbulence. How does he handle that with a specific player in a certain situation with a coach? Like that's what I'm interested in, how this all morphs.
I also think that probably a part of this is they want, I would guess anyway, they want to avoid a situation where any other player on either side of the ball, but mostly on offense, and yes, I'm thinking chiefly about Stephon Diggs here, feels compelled to question him publicly, the way, like, and really the questioning I'm referring to is gesturing on the field mostly, because when it came time to answer questions about it, Diggs was just almost playful and just never really told you, you know, gave you a straight answer about it, other than he's my quarterback and like things are out of my control and all the vagaries he always talked in. I think they'd like to have a situation where somebody beneath Allen, pay-wise, importance-wise, hierarchy-wise, isn't showing him up.
Right. It's really interesting, right? I mean, you could point to times, you know, over the years or something like that, and, you know, what was Josh's response in that situation? He kind of sat there, took it? I don't know, right? I mean, like, is there something different, a different approach? Will the person or other players be not as even willing to be like that, the demonstrative, whatever it was, what word you want to use in that situation? I think of, look, I also think you have this entire new group of wide receivers other than Khalil Shakir. We know that, right? Like, everybody's new on this team. I mean, they're coming in here, and this is a, hey, I'm going to come in and play with Josh Allen. Like, they're kind of, to me, if you're a wide receiver in this league and you get an opportunity, you get drafted by the Bills, you sign as a free agent, it's a little bit of wide-eyed, like, oh, yeah, baby, I get to play with Josh Allen. And you look up to him like that. And I think there's got to be something said for that, which is, you know, and I will tell you, just talking with receivers, like, they feel, you know, they don't want to disappoint Josh. They know Josh is one of the best in the league. And whenever you've heard them talk throughout, and I can't give specific quotes necessarily, but just the theme of, hey, you know, I want to be there for Josh. And I want to make sure that I'm doing right by him and making sure that he understands where I'm going to be or whatever. And I think that's part of it too, which is all these new guys, hey, they're looking up to you to be that leader because they want to please you essentially on the football field. And I think there's something to that.
Interesting dynamics in play here with leadership and the captain stuff, the leadership council, evoking flashbacks of watching Survivor, which I know is still on, but I did a long time ago get into Survivor a little bit, like when it was new. Sal Capaccio on the West Shore Hotline. Injuries, Sal, were there. Week one, what kind of shape are the Bills in?
Much, much, much better shape than they had been over the last couple of weeks. And this is something I told you guys would basically wind up happening, which it happens every year. There seems to be this, you know, oh my God, all these injuries. Maybe this year a little bit more and a little bit earlier, or even a little bit later, I guess. I don't know, you know, than most years it seemed like. But as I've said to you guys the last couple of weeks, what basically happens is they understand where they are. They play the long game, and by week one, they're doing okay. Well, guess what? They're doing okay here. The only player who missed practice today on the active roster was defensive end Javon Solomon with an oblique. He was on the exercise bike. Everybody else practiced, and the only player who was limited was Mitch Trubisky, which is a great sign that he's actually... And remember I said last week, guys, it's not about Trubisky being available on Sunday. He's got to be able to practice. He's got to know the game plan. You know, that's where you have to figure out who your number three quarterback is, because what he does on Wednesday and Thursday is going to say a lot about that. And then, of course... The big news today, I think, was both Curtis Samuel and Cole Bishop being full participants.
And that is Bishop's first time back since late July, right? For a full practice. I know he's been around on a limited basis. Because I'm wondering how, to what extent Sal Hamlin won the job next to Taylor Rapp at safety, and to what extent Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop missing so much time really impacted that competition.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say, from my eyes, a little bit of both. Now, when you say first time he's been back in a full participant, you know, since July, we don't get an actual limited or full from the team during up until today.
Okay.
We do sometimes get a little bit of like what people are dealing with. He had been back in a red jersey, so I think it's probably a good assumption, Bulldog.
Right.
You know, red jersey, he wasn't doing everything, but he might have been on the field doing almost everything except somebody hitting him, right? Basically. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a little bit of a ramp up there. Cole Bishop's a rookie. He's learning this new system. There's no doubt about that. Mike Edwards missed plenty of time, and although he played in similar systems, he's learned a new system. Okay, so that leads you to, all right, there's Damar Hamlin. He's pretty much been healthy other than a little bit right at the end that he missed that Steelers preseason game. He's been healthy. I also tell you, Damar Hamlin had a really good offseason. You know that. When we talked back in May at OTAs and minicamp, Damar was a guy that I brought up as somebody who really flashed, and he had an opportunity because Mike Edwards wasn't out there, and he really did a nice job. He got it. He was around the football. And, you know, it's OTAs. It's minicamp. You want to see it. I thought he had a nice camp. It wasn't a great camp. It wasn't like he was blowing everybody away, but he seemed not out of place, I'll tell you that, in camp. So I think there's a little bit of that. The other thing I think about this is, let's remember they have a game in 5 days after Sunday. If Mike Edwards and or Cole Bishop are out there on Sunday and they do anything to, you know, re-aggravate an injury, tweak mm-hmm. anything, I mean, you're risking them for Thursday. Not to say they won't play on Sunday, but this also might be, let's keep a little bit of the longer vision in mind as well.
Any thoughts on tomorrow night? You probably do have thoughts on Ravens-Chiefs.
Yeah, my question, I posed this to Matt Bove on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Who should Bills fans want to win that game?
It has to be Baltimore, right?
Matt gave a good case for Kansas City. His case for Kansas City was, don't you think Kansas City's just going to win the West anyway? So why not give Baltimore a loss here? Because that's a team you're probably fighting with when it's all said and done. Unless you think the Bills are going to fight for the one seed, then fine, give Kansas City a loss. I understand that. Now, also, I will tell you, most Bills fans just want to see Kansas City lose. That's fine. That's
exactly where I am. Later in the season, it might matter what their records are, and I could get to it's better for us if KC wins, because that, you know, what we care most about is those results and those standings and the seedings and all that, but... Sitting here at 0-0, I can't get behind Kansas City at all.
I think it's an extension of last year where had the Bills won the right to go to Baltimore, everybody here would have been very confident, I think, even though the Ravens were the best team in the NFL. I think it's an extension of that. Ross Tucker asked the same question yesterday on our show, and I think I got around to everybody is rooting for Baltimore tomorrow. Just enough with the Chiefs.
Yeah. The whole country. Yeah, that's right.
Everybody is rooting.
Just like the Lions last year, right? Just like the Lions last year. And the Lions went there and beat them. And look, I heard Trista make this point yesterday with you guys, and she's absolutely right. The Chiefs aren't world beaters early in the season. They just aren't. They haven't been the last several years. It's kind of like the Patriots for many years, right? The Patriots always were playing their best football after Thanksgiving and they winning Super Bowls. And really, the Chiefs have kind of been like that in a lot of ways a few times over the last several years. So I think the Ravens have a really good opportunity to go beat them here. So, you know, we'll see. The Chiefs are starting a rookie left tackle. Like, it's kind of an underrated storyline here. That's a very aggressive Baltimore defense. So I'm interested in this game, of course.
Last 3 years, Jackson as the starter, regular season, the Ravens have been underdogs 7 times, which is a remarkably low number. And the Bills are kind of similar in that. 7-0 against the spread. They've covered every time as an underdog with Jackson healthy in for 3 years. You know, that's not bad. Big test.
How many
tomorrow.
Straight up wins do you know out of that?
I don't. Hopefully it's not zero, because then, you know, I don't want the stat anymore.
<That'd be interesting. laughs>
But I mean, when they're underdogs, they're very small underdogs, so I'm sure it's a few wins. I would think so. I'll look that up. Sal, any questions for us?
No, I think I'm pretty good today. I'll ask you a fantasy question, Mike.
Okay.
Hey,
the rookies.
Hey, what about me?
Oh, Bulldog. Okay, all right, here we go.
What about me?
Keon Coleman was talking today, so I just asked him, hey, you know, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. on the other side. You guys have a relationship. He said, you know, a little bit. They talked, and he said, but not really. It's nice to – it'll be nice to see him out there. Anyway, my question for you will be about the two rookies in this game. Fantasy-wise, Keon Coleman and Marvin Harrison Jr., would you start them, sit them? Do you have any thoughts on them in this particular matchup?
I can't imagine having drafted Harrison as early as you would have had to and not started him in this game.
Okay.
But it's an unknown. He played 4 snaps in the preseason.
Right.
So he's such a smooth player. I'm optimistic for the Cardinals offense. Yes, I would play him. Coleman, I would hope to not have to. I said earlier, because Bulldog was talking about, like, what wouldn't it be great to have Coleman have a big game? Like, of course, I think I would take 3 for 30 and a 9-yard touchdown. I feel like the most important thing with him is the end zone. And we had a few minutes on just like what they will do with him in the red zone. I'll be wanting to keep a close eye on that. What are the routes? If they're worried about separation, is he just running, you know, drags? Is he just running to the pylon, fades, anything like that? This kind of one-on-one sort of plays, or will they do more with him? I hope that there are situations where we can examine that.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I like it. I was on a fantasy, you know, somebody asked me some stuff about fantasy on the radio this week, and I said that's it with Coleman to me too. I don't think his numbers are going to wow you. It's how many times it's really the bigger plays. With him, his numbers are going to come from scoring touchdowns. I think that's where he's going to really kind of make his mark this year.
Right. It's almost like a tight end for me in terms of fantasy to start the season, you know, where you sort of just hope for a touchdown, and I think at receiver you don't want to start the season there. You don't want to have that. Sal, very good. This iced coffee that's in the studio is not yours. Can I throw it out?
Not mine. I rarely drink iced coffee. I have done it, but I rarely drink it. It definitely is not
mine. I leave my share of empty bottles in here, but usually they're empty.
Okay.
Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Fantasy season. Week 1, regular season, 803-0550. We're here for all of it. What is one thing, maybe the number one thing, you could get from the Bills in this game, other than, you know, a win? Lines are open. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
First thing I thought about was just thinking about my first day here and, you know, how everything just seemed so fast. And, you know, I was just trying to figure out where to go, trying to be to meetings on time and, you know, just living that life to where I'm at right now. And really just the growth and the journey that I've been on so far, and really just appreciating, you know, the good and the bad.
Terrell Bernard, one of only two Bills captains, as named by Sean McDermott today, the other being Josh Allen. Bernard entering his third season out of Baylor, Sikkim Bears. Ran very pure last year with takeaways, six in his 17 games. We'll see if he can keep that up. I think it's,
it took a lot for me not to roar over here when you the Sikkim Bears thing.
You'd have to know the exact roar. And the roars vary.
And I don't, and I feel like I did I'm proud of the job I did on the Florida Panther thing, and I don't want to mess that up.
No, you shouldn't. You should retire.
You're gonna stand on that. I'm gonna stand on that. That's right. Yeah. Well, you know what comes to mind? I'm listening to Bernard talk about his journey, if it's possible to squeeze his journey into like a 12-second sound clip. A year ago at this time, we had no idea. I think he'd been named the starter by now because the game was, Wednesday of game week. So we knew that, but we hadn't really seen him play at all, and he barely played in his rookie year. And I feel like he's a strength of the team. I feel like he's a player I'm excited for to be on the field. So, hopefully they find some of that within all the other new moving pieces they've got here. It's a lot to ask. Everyone's not going to hit like he's hit, but I feel like he's really hit.
We'll see. I have a lower opinion than you do of him, which is not to say it's a low opinion, but I think it was more it was the nature of the plays he made last year. I mean, those are big. Those are game changers, but you're not getting, he's a different position, but you're not getting the consistency. It's Williams that goes in for Milano. And that's really more where I think it's the tandem, but it's the loss of Milano that could really be a problem. Hamlin's starting now. They could really have a problem. It's great that they have a smart defensive coach. He's obviously proven, but they are not, for me, close to all set up the middle. There was a stat on Milano from last year. I'd have to look it up, the exact numbers, but passer rating over the middle when he's on the field was league low.
Yeah.
When targeting him, was it no touchdowns, five picks, middle of the field when Milano was on the field? And then when he wasn't, it was seven touchdowns and no picks. Just dramatically different.
And that was a lot of last year, too. Milano only played five games.
That's right. That's where that comes from.
Right.
And that's interesting for this game.
Sure. There's a talented tight end there, Bernard and or Williams, both. I'm sure they'll have a very extensive plan and different people being asked to do different things. But you think about the Chiefs game without Bernard and without Milano and what Travis Kelce and really they ran it down their throat. So it's not even so much that. But yeah, I think a lot of attention. We're going to know pretty early. I think McBride is a big challenge for the whole defense. But I feel like Bernard and Williams are guys that are really squarely on the spot with him.
I did Matthew Collar's Purple Insider podcast this morning talking fantasy football for Matt, and his idea was five players you're really curious about, who are a few players that you really don't know, and I wanted to not pick rookies. We did talk about the Bills receivers like you and I do every day because the season's almost here, and I have no idea what the pecking order will be or if one will dominate. They've always been talking like that isn't the plan. I did not name McBride, but I easily could have, because what he did last year was, on the pro side, he had games, I mentioned this to Dave Pasch last week, where he was unstoppable. The Steeler game, there was a game in Pittsburgh, there was weather delay in this game, and McBride was just incredible, unstoppable in this game, Gronk-like. But I know not everybody in the prospect business thinks he's all that. And I've heard Pat Corain, another fantasy expert that I know, make a case recently on one of his podcasts that, probably, but he couldn't beat out Zach Ertz before Ertz got hurt. The rookie year was pretty bad. And then last year, Ertz was on the field for the Cardinals for much of the season, and it wasn't until he left. It's kind of a little bit of a Knox Kincaid thing, where when Knox left to injury, Kincaid was able to emerge. But the difference this year is Knox is back for the Bills and Ertz is in Washington. So it should be McBride's mm-hmm. show. They have Marvin Harrison, you know, we'll see how they divvy things up with Arizona. But as we've talked about a lot, kind of an interesting team for the Bills to face here right out of the gate. They are, the Bills, as a six-point favorite, going to be one of the more popular survivor pick choices. You're trying to pick one team to win without the spread, just win in advance. And in most of these things, you can't use the same team twice. But, you know, some strategy goes into this choice. And every week is interesting. Even when one or two teams are like two touchdown favorites, I don't know, do I want to pick them? If they happen to lose, that can eliminate a large percentage of the field. This week, the Bengals are the biggest favorite at 9 against New England. Then the Bills at 6, and a couple others are close to that. You said yesterday,
San Francisco minus 4.5.
You want San Francisco for yours.
It's just on brand for me.
Anti-Jets.
I'm down on the Jets. We may even bench Aaron Rodgers in fantasy. We'll have to see. I don't know how that's going to go over in the room. There's just some question of whether or not he's that popular with
his
teammates.
He's asking for a trade already.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't expect... Sure, if an upset happens, and like you said, if you know, 40 or 50 or 60% of the participants choose Cincinnati and somehow New England wins that game, and I'm right on San Francisco, then I know I'm in a great spot. But all things being equal, I would say I like Cincinnati more, but I'm trying to just do my thing.
How realistic is a New England win? That's kind of hard, right?
It's really hard. I mean,
never know week one, though.
I just don't think they're going to be able to block at all, really. So,
not the perfect opponent.
Right.
You have that problem.
I would expect the Bengals to just kind of unload on them. And yeah, I'd expect a comfortable cover if I were betting on the Bengals. But I guess I'm too proud to take the easy way out.
Smart.
I'm gonna roll with San Francisco.
I say never, as a rule, never take the biggest favorite.
Okay.
I mean, maybe you get really deep into the season and
right,
you're head to head or something, then maybe you could. But I would want to never do that. I joined.
Good.
I joined the single entry one because my hang up with survivor pools is I feel like I'm playing against, you know, everybody's dog and
their
cat.
The bigger entry fee one. Yeah, I just did the entry level one.
Even that one will probably have people partnering up,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if that can be avoided. Yeah. I took Miami.
All right. I like it.
Home to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, like there's just no sure thing in week one or ever.
Yeah.
But you just, it's the first week. It's the week where you know the least about.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And like if they can block the Bengals and the Patriots make a couple of plays, a couple of turnovers, like there's your upset.
Right.
I mean, that can happen. Who are you rooting for there? Survivor pool notwithstanding. Survivor pool, you're definitely rooting for New England.
Sure. And I'm definitely rooting for New England regardless. I'm not expecting them to be a problem for me. So if they somehow, it all comes together for them, Cincinnati has a bad day, that I think is good for me. Because I think the Bengals will be a top of the conference team again this year. You know, assuming everyone's there and everyone's playing and everything's harmonious and whatever. I mean, the way they've handled the Chase thing is just, it's weird. It's not surprising because it's the Bengals. I was a little surprised they got Burrow done as efficiently as they did, but they did. They don't have the reputation. I honestly wonder if they have enough cash on hand to lay out the contract in the way, because you know, you hear about this a lot. It's not, I shouldn't say you hear about it a lot. Every now and then, you know, everybody's rolling in cash in the NFL, and these contracts, you got to have the cash in order to lay that out, the guaranteed stuff. And I don't know about the Bengals. they've been perceived as cheap, and I think have been cheap for many, many years, maybe their whole entire existence. And this is an important guy on the team, maybe next most important after Burrow. And what are you doing? It's time to do the contract. Like, if you value him the way you should, The price is never going to go down. Like, it's just not going to happen. The bottom is not going to fall out of the receiver market. I don't think. So the sooner you get that done with him, the better off you are, I think. So I think it's odd.
It's funny. And by the way, the Bengals, I believe, when they were born, were the picture of luxury. Leather sofas on the sideline instead of benches.
I don't remember that.
Just what a scene it was.
Yeah.
You're like, what are the Bengals doing? Matt today on his show with me was like, what is Chase doing?
Mm.
And I said, well, he probably thinks he'll win. And if he doesn't, worth a shot. You know, if, maybe he'll even play Sunday. Like, he's practicing today. But Lamb won.
Yeah.
Ayuk won. Trent Williams won.
He's scheduled to be paid this year $4.5 million.
The other part, though,
I know it's the third year, but go ahead.
No, it's just I wanted to say, in addition, I'm not looking for credit. I could never hold out if I had a contract. I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trent Williams, he seized an opportunity. Ayuk had him. And they needed him, like, when he didn't play last year, they were 0-3, Williams. So he had him, and he got him, right? And that's a perfectly fine, normal mm-hmm. thing people do in business. I just could never. I would feel so bad for, if I were an important player on the team, and I'm just like, I had a contract, and I just didn't show up. And I guess they would understand. That's what we always say.
I
couldn't do it.
Yeah, I absolutely could. I don't know if I would have said that as easily as I just said it now 20 years ago, but, you know, it's just so different from our lives. It's an accepted part of the profession. You know, he is one of the very best guys in the league, and again, he's scheduled to earn $4.5 million this year.
That seems good.
I know, but holy cow.
That's what I signed for.
You got to go through an entire season, and then next year it's the guaranteed fifth-year option, which is like $21 million, which is still, I know, it's gross how much it is, but it's not, it's $10 million less than what the going rate is for a player of that caliber. And he's supposed to just go expose himself this year, yes. Making $4.5 million?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
I would never do it. I would absolutely do what he's doing.
Well, he might play. Like, again,
yeah,
he's
that's
practicing
right. That's right.
Today.
That's right.
So we don't know yet if he's going to skip. It's different than Le'Veon Bell. Who are some examples of guys that didn't flinch? Le'Veon Bell. But he being a running back nearer the end of his career, you know, it was kind of like his last shot. Chase is going to get top market money somehow, someday. Like, he is, if he doesn't play, we'll all think he's going to be the same player in a year, and who knows what mm-hmm. happens. But different from Bell, like, this is my chance. Or Trent Williams, he's been in the league 15 yeah. years.
Well, the only thing that keeps him from doing exactly that, even hitting the open market in 2 years, is a torn ACL or an Achilles injury or something that happens to him that diminishes his value. So, like, if I'm him, I would not, as hard as it would be, I don't think I'm playing. If they're gonna be this hard about it and not get it done by now, I'm sorry, I'm not coming.
Wow, you made a deal. You know, Mike Brown, we'll get to a break, he seems kind of hard-headed. And I don't know if he's going to have a press conference like Ursay did with the Colts, you know, Jonathan Taylor. But Mike Brown could be the type to say something like, I always hear how he should get paid. He is getting paid. Like, why do people put it like that? I literally write him checks. Lines are open for your thoughts at 803-0550 on this or the opener. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, talking Ja'Marr Chase for a few minutes. Here's Aaron with us. Hi, Aaron. Aaron? No. Zoe instead. Hi, Zoe.
Zoe, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was calling about the Ja'Marr Chase situation, and I understand why he will hold out. Just the simple fact how the market is and how injuries just been going. People getting faster, and it happens. So, for example, so say he played this year $4 million, fifth year option, guaranteed $21 million. Now, let's say he messed up his Achilles or tears ACL. Boom, now he got to sit out for the rest of the year. He got a rehab, and we everybody to talk about how he's going to be coming back. Now he's coming back because he got the guaranteed $21 million, so he's back on his hands. Now he come back, and he got a 600-yard, 700-yard season. They might not want to sign him back because they're like, okay, he didn't have that much of a big year. Such and such is coming out the draft. We're going to grab him. Now he bouncing around to a one-year, two-year deal contract.
Maybe.
But look, that's a thing that kind of been happening sometimes.
Well, it's the you would admit it's the absolute worst case scenario, right? You're talking about a torn Achilles, right? You're talking about, I mean, what did Gabe Davis get? He wasn't coming off an injury. But Ja'Marr Chase in that scenario doesn't get paid at 26 or 27 or whatever he would be. It's the trade-off of that possible outcome versus, well, my take was he does. I know I'm going to sound like I'm 100 years old. He did actually sign a contract to play football. So that's what I said was my name would be on it. I would play. I mean, I might feel completely this way, worried about how much money I could lose, but I don't think I could, you know, sit out. That's all.
Yeah, but it's $4 million. But how much he really getting? He really gonna get like $2 million after paying taxes.
Well, that's always true. But okay,
the risk is inherent. The dilemma is endless. And because I do see the you should honor what you signed. But that is not the way the league works. The teams don't have to honor it if they don't want to, unless it's all guaranteed, like in Deshaun Watson's case, then they have to.
That's right.
But when you if you sign that contract and get damaged, they will get out of it as soon as they can. So when the player has the opportunity, and look, I didn't invent the precedent, but the precedent has been set. 3 years in, you can get that new contract, and teams generally, I think, try to take care of the guys that are at the top of the market. If, you know, if they can swing it salary cap wise and whatever else, you just want to keep the superstars on your team. You want to treat them the way the league treats them. And the way the league treats them is to tear that contract up because it's grossly out of, he's just way, way underpaid.
I don't disagree with any of that from the Bengals side. Like, that's what I would want the Bengals to do if I were a fan. That's what I think they should do.
Yeah.
But if I'm Chase, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, right. Chase is a different conversation because at the end of the day, too, they got their high-priced lifestyles and Lamborghinis and jewelry and stuff that he want to buy with that $2 million.
Let me introduce you, Ja'Marr Chase, to a Hyundai Sonata, all right? Let me introduce you, which is a great car. Yeah, I think so. Gabe Davis, by the way, signed $13 million a year for 3 years. He's okay. I think in that exact scenario where Chase is injured and then next year he's got fifth-year guaranteed money and he's just okay, I think he still beats that. You know,
I'm not telling you he doesn't beat that, but what he doesn't beat is Justin Jefferson. And that's what he should do right now.
As long as they agree. He can try. That's what he's doing. He's trying. But who knows?
I would keep trying if I were him.
You would sit out the year?
I don't know about the year. I might come in at the end where you get the credit for the season, whatever that is, 10 games, if that's still the same rule with 17 games now. But you know that dance, right? Like, get credit for the accrued season so your contract tolls. I would do that.
Okay. Thanks for the call. It's a good conversation. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.